So let's recite together the formula of dependent arising, paticca samuppada. Thus, when this is that comes to be, with the arising of this that arises, that is to say, dependent on ignorance, consciousness arises. Dependent on conceptions, consciousness arises. Dependent on consciousness, mentality and materiality arise. Dependent on mentality and materiality, the six sense bases arise. Dependent on the six sense bases, contact arises. Dependent on contact, feeling arises. Dependent on feeling, craving arises. Dependent on craving, attachment arises. Dependent on attachment, there arises a new existence. Dependent on existence, a new birth takes place. Dependent on birth, then aging, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, unhappiness, and despair come to be. Thus is the arising of this whole mess of dukkha. When indeed phenomena become apparent to the Holy One, who is ardent and absorbed, then all his doubts, since he knows the nature of their causes. Okay, enough. So the principle of this paticca samuppada is when this exists, that comes to be. So when ignorant exists, then karmic formation comes to be. Okay, then with the cessation of this, that ceases. So with the cessation of ignorance, then karmic formation ceases. So all this show everything arising and disappearing dependent on causes. You must thoroughly understand this point. This is a principle of dependent origination. So when you understand everything arise depend on the causes, then all your doubt vanished. All your doubts vanished. No more doubt about who am I in the past. Who will be I in the future? There's no doubt at all about past, present, and future regarding this self. Okay? And the importance of paticca samuppada, dependent origination, is to help to remove or to eliminate 5 types of wrong views. If you have notebook, better write down. First, it eliminates what? Sakkaya ditthi. Theoretically, of course not completely, not practically. Theoretically, if you understand paticca samuppada, it eliminates identity view, wrong view of identity. How? As I explained before, ignorance is not a self, right? Ignorance is only mental factor. Karmic formation is not a self. Karmic formation is just an action. The action, when it is performed, then it disappears. It's not persistent there, but leave behind karmic energy. Okay? And when craving is also not a self. Feeling is not a self. Clinging is not a self. Becoming is also not a self. Even birth is not a self. What is birth? Birth is a manifestation of 5 aggregates only. And this 5 aggregate of body, feeling, perception, formation, consciousness are also arising and passing away. They are also not a permanent abiding self. So if you understand the cycle of dependent origination, all these 12 factors are mere mind and body. There's no permanent abiding self. Then theoretically, you have already eliminated identity view. So this is the first thing you must bear in mind. Otherwise, why should I study dependent origination, right? The second wrong view, the Paticca-samuppada helps you to eliminate eternalism view, sasata ditti, eternalism. As I say, when birth takes place, or consciousness takes place, or birth takes place, it's not a same person whom transmigrate from the past to the present. It cannot be the same identity. Just like a baby, you see his face, now looks different from you already. So it cannot find the same identity. If you think that it's the same person who transmigrate from the past to the present, then you have the eternalism view that block you to attain Nibbana. This is the second important point. It helps to remove the view of eternalism. The third, when you study Paticca-samuppada, it helps to eliminate wrong view of annihilation. When you study Paticca-samuppada, then you understand all karmic, verbal karma, physical karma, and mental karma, when all this karma are performed, they leave behind karmic energy. And when this karmic energy ripen, it will produce new life. Right? Then how can you say everything extinguished? Now everything extinguished, nothing left behind. No more rebirth. Now if you say there's no rebirth, everything finished in this life, this is called annihilation view. 断见. But now you understand already, dependent origination, whatever karma we perform, leave behind karmic energy that produce new rebirth. So if you have this understanding, you will not entertain the view of annihilation. Okay? And the number fourth, Paticca-samuppada also helps to eliminate ahetuka ditti, causeless. The view of causeless, no cause at all. Why I come to this existence? No cause. There's no reason for it. I just come. This is called causeless view. So now you understand already why we come to this existence, why we come to this world, because of past karma based on ignorance, right? Avijja, depend on ignorance. Karmic formation, depend on karmic formation, consciousness in this lifetime, in mother's womb. So when you understand this theory, then you remove causeless view. No cause. Now you know everything comes from a cause. Or maybe not a cause, many causes. This is the fourth. You help you to remove the fourth type of wrong view. Number fifth, dependent origination also help to eliminate the view of creator. The view, of course, we Buddhists never believe in creator, but some people believe in creator. So this dependent arising also help us to eliminate the wrong view of creator. We are not created by the God. We are created by our karmic formations based on ignorance and craving. This is the correct view. Okay. And so long we do not, and so these five types of views stand in a way to obstruct us towards enlightenment. This means that this five type of wrong view also are the obstacles, the strong obstacles that block us to attain or to become sotapan, to become stream enterer. Therefore, it is very important to understand Paticca-samuppada to help us to eliminate these five types of wrong view first before we come to meditation practice. Otherwise, when you come to meditation practice, when you have unpleasant feeling, you say, I am unpleasant. You are strengthened the identity view again and again. Then you are far away from attainment of Nibbana. Right? So whatever arises in the mind and body, do not identify with it as I, my, myself. If you understand dependent origination, everything arises depend on causes. So why the pain arises? Why the unpleasant feeling arises in you? Simply because there's cause. What is the cause? Because of having body. Because of having body, there's pain. Arahant also got pain, but Arahant no mental pain. Once we experience physical pain, we also have mental pain. So we have double pains. But Arahant no. The moment, as long as you have physical body, you have the pain. So what? Okay. And also, and now we come to, now we already understand dependent origination. And from very beginning, dependent on ignorance comes karmic formation, then up to the thus, this the whole mess of suffering. Towards the end, thus arise the whole mess of suffering. Then what is the origin of this whole mess of suffering? What's the origin? If you discern each factors, there are 12 factors there. What is the origin of the suffering? Craving. Yes, exactly. Craving. Okay. So there are 3 types of craving. Now we know already how the suffering comes about, starting from ignorance, right? Up to the arising of whole mess of suffering. Now this is the truth of suffering. Now we go to the origin of the suffering. So what is the origin of suffering? Craving. So there are 3 types of craving. First is craving for existence. Bawa tanha. Craving for existence. What is existence? Existence means having 5 aggregates. It's called existence. No 5 aggregates, no existence, right? So having 5 aggregates, khanda, pancha khanda, is called existence. So in another word, we crave for our 5 aggregates. We crave for the body. We crave for pleasant feeling. We crave for perception so that we can perceive things. We crave for formations, all types of formations. And we crave for consciousness so that we can think, we can see, we can hear, we can touch, and so on. So it's a craving for assistance. So because of craving for assistance, also imply, so with the craving for assistance, also implies that there is craving for sensual pleasures. It's the second type of craving. Why we crave for assistance? In order to enjoy life, right? If life is not enjoyable, why should I live? I better die from earlier. Simply because life, with having the 5 aggregates, I can enjoy sensual pleasures through my eyes. I can see beautiful things. I can hear pleasant voice, the voice that praise me, the music I attach to. And because having the nose, I can smell everything, good smell. And having the tongue, I can enjoy so much delicious food. And having the body, I can have sex. I can have soft touch. I can hug my beloved one, and so on. And having the mind also, I can think whatever I want. Or the achievement I aim, that achievement, career achievement. Accomplishment in your career also give your mind a lot of satisfaction. So you crave for all this type of things. This is called craving for sensual desire, our sensual pleasures. Number third is craving for non-existent. This craving for non-existent, vibhava tanha, is associated with wrong view of annihilation. Because this person, he has the wrong view of annihilation, he thought after that, everything ceases. This wrong view. So he craved for that type of everything ceases with wrong view. Not believe in cause and effect. Therefore, it's called one type of wrong view. So because of this craving, which is origin of suffering, thus arise the whole mess of suffering. Okay, now next question. Where the craving comes from? As a smart meditator, we need investigation. My teaching emphasizes lots of investigation. So where the craving comes from? You can trace back, yes. Comes from pleasant feeling. Come from pleasant feelings. So if we want to eradicate or tackle the origin of suffering, which is craving, what should we do? Cut what? Cut feeling. Yes, correct. Not to say cut lah. Feeling cannot be cut, man. Even Arahant got feeling. So in order, listen carefully, you know, I'm a meditation teacher for many years. But when I teach the Dhamma, I found that many students are aimlessly follow different teachers and don't understand the way of practice correctly. If you recognize life is suffering, then you should recognize where the suffering comes from. Suffering comes from craving, right? Then where the craving comes from originated. This is the important point for an insight meditator to grasp it correctly, fully. Then you know whether you are practicing correctly or not. Otherwise, the more you practice, the more craving you develop. Then you are not in the right way. Okay, so come from the feeling. If you study dependent origination backward, reverse order, then you will know craving comes from feeling. Especially pleasant feeling. So in this sense, the practice comes, or the path leading towards the cessation of suffering comes. This path we call the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. In the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, there's one called contemplation on feelings. So when pleasant feeling arises in you, what should you do? First, what should you do? Mindful of it first. Aware of it. Mindful of it. Realize it is there. Observe it. So first one, in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, Buddha emphasized two things. One is applied mindfulness. The name is called Four Foundations of Mindfulness. So mindfulness cannot be missing. Mindfulness must be there all the times. So when feeling arises in you, mindful of it. How you mindful of it? You know, you aware, you realize pleasant feeling has arisen in you. And without react to it. Without reaction is very important. If you react to it, mean you lose your mindfulness already. So when feeling arise in you, hold it. Keep it in view. Hold it silently. This is called mindfulness. But when you react with it, with craving, then you lose your mindfulness already. Your mindfulness is not stand still. Your mindfulness is not stopping. But your mindfulness already disappeared. Therefore, craving arises upon because of pleasant feeling. Therefore, mindfulness has the sense of pausing, stopping, stand still. Observe it silently. This is called mindfulness. And nowadays, according to my understanding and talking with many people and see many people practicing the Dharma, many so-called insight meditator who practice vipassana, I practice vipassana, they stop short on mindfulness only. For example, stretching. You know you are stretching. Can you say this insight meditation? No, it's just mindfulness meditation. You're mindful, you are stretching, right? Drinking, you're mindful, you are drinking. You're hearing, you are mindful, you are mindful, you are hearing. Can we say this insight meditation? If you say this insight meditation, then you don't understand what is insight meditation. This is just mindfulness. You know you are doing. Mindfulness itself cannot lead to enlightenment. Nowadays, especially in USA, mindfulness practice is so popular. One conference, thousands of people attend just to study what is mindfulness. So just mindfulness alone is never enough for the enlightenment. You need another most important factor in the teaching of the Buddha. What is that? Investigation or wisdom, same thing. We call panya, wisdom, or insight, or investigation. All these are same thing. We call wisdom. So what is wisdom? Wisdom means penetrating phenomena as they truly are. Every conditioned, when I say conditions, mean that phenomena is produced by causes. Therefore, it's called conditioned. Every conditioned phenomena has three characteristics. What are the three characteristics there? Yes, anicca, dukkha, anatta. All phenomena, all conditioned phenomena has three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. This is the nature, the law of nature. Just like we also, we have the three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Soon we get old, we get sick, then suffering comes. When you get from young turn to old, it's anicca, right? Then when it's anicca, cannot move already, cannot eat, then suffering comes. Then finally, die, also anicca. Then no one undergo rebirth, it only cause and effect. So, because we are also produced by cause, we are also conditioned phenomena. Five aggregates, we are also produced by causes. So, all conditioned phenomena has three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. And the vipassana or insight meditation has the important mental factor which is called wisdom or called insight or called investigation. So this insight penetrates into the true nature of phenomena. That is what? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. So if you are just mindful, stretching, drinking, hearing, it's just a mindfulness. You know you see anicca, dukkha, anatta. How can you say you practice insight meditation? No. Right? So vipassana insight meditation means constantly, we cannot say constantly, You see, Vipassana in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, Buddha emphasized one Pali word, anuppassana. He said, when you see, you must see samudaya vaya dhamma nupasi viharati. He draws seeing arising. Then, vaya dhamma nupasiwa viharati. He draws contemplating or seeing disappearing, dissolution. Then again, Buddha say, he draws seeing both arising and disappearance or dissolution. Then he used one Pali word, anuppassana. Passana means seeing. Seeing what? Seeing three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Then what is this anu? Anuppassana. Anuppassana. Passana means seeing three characteristics. Anu means repeatedly. Not one time. One time seeing no power one. Got power, shock. But in order to let your wisdom mature, you've got to see it repeatedly, again and again. They call anuppassana. So if you practice mindfulness, just knowing, fire element, you do not see the disappearing of fire element, then it's just a mindfulness, not insight meditation yet. So insight meditation is constantly or repeatedly seeing the true nature of phenomena. What are the phenomena here? Okay, what are the phenomena here? Five aggregate. Don't forget that. So vipassana insight meditation is repeatedly seeing five aggregates internally yourself and externally both. As what? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. Really seeing. Not only contemplation. Contemplation lead to real seeing. Okay? If you don't contemplate at all, more cannot see. If you don't contemplate impermanent, your mind only entertain permanent, then far away from seeing impermanent. Okay, so when we come to, in order to stop craving from developing, we have to contemplate feeling. So when pleasant feeling arises in you, first, what should you do? Apply mindfulness. Keep the pleasant feeling in view. Stop your mind there. Don't react. Later on, when you stop your mind there, don't react. If your wisdom is sharp, then you will see this unpleasant feeling disappear. Because nothing is permanent. You must have faith in what Buddha said. From his very enlightenment until he passed away, Buddha keep on saying, Sabbe Sankhara Anicca. All formations are impermanent. So we have faith in what Buddha said. So unpleasant feeling also same. When you hold it, observe it silently, then this nature, without reaction, when you react to it, you cannot see it's disappearing anymore. Because your mind already run away from the object. No more with the object. Right? So you cannot see it. You cannot see its dissolution. So you got to hold it first. Hold it. And with the matured of your wisdom, then you will see this unpleasant feeling pass away. And you get very happy. Wow, finally passed away already. But only one moment of happiness. Another unpleasant feeling re-arises. Then what to do? Cannot do anything. Observe again. What to do? Observe again. When with the maturity of your wisdom, you see it passes away again. Then another arises again. Then pass away. Then as with the maturity of your wisdom, you see the arising and passing away even faster. Very fast. until you don't know what is that, only arising and passing away. You also forget it's pleasant feeling or unpleasant already. No time to differentiate. Just arising, passing away, arising, passing away, arising and passing away. This is called insight meditation. Previously, it's all mindfulness only. No insight yet. So when you contemplate feeling, so first applied sati, mindfulness, then hold it. But usually I also will teach very beginners to contemplate. When once you hold it, then you also contemplate impermanent first. This is my usual teaching. Why? So that your mind will not run away from the object, so that your mind will not think the object is permanent. For example, your pain. Pain arises in you, then you observe the pain. Observe it. But your mind, inside your mind, you also think this pain is permanent. Right? I think many people think this pain is permanent. Or inside your mind will think, I am experiencing the pain. I am the pain. Pain is with me. Right? Correct or not? Correct. Right? So because we not yet train our mind to see impermanent yet. We not yet see our mind to disidentify ourselves with the pain yet. Therefore, in order to help you to eliminate the view, the wrong view, the wrong perception of permanent, the wrong perception of self, I am painful, I am painful, I teach my student to contemplate when unpleasant feeling arises, contemplate it as impermanent. First, mindfulness first. Without mindfulness, you cannot do anything. First, mindfulness. Then second, in order your mind will not be attacked by perception of permanent or perception of self, having a self, then contemplate it as impermanent. So when you contemplate impermanent, the words of impermanent also teaching you. It's impermanent, don't worry. It will go away, don't worry. So it can hold your mindfulness longer on the unpleasant feeling. So sometimes you contemplate impermanent, sometimes you contemplate non-self, so that you will not identify that unpleasant feeling as myself. That is preliminary work that you have to do in order to see real impermanent, fast arising and passing away, or in order to see non-self nature of the phenomena. All these are preliminary prerequisite you should have first. Okay, so when unpleasant feeling arises, then contemplate, hold it with mindfulness. Then second, contemplate as impermanent. Sometimes as non-self. So when you get used to this type of contemplating, it's also called wise attention, yoniso manasikara, which is one of the factor of stream enterer. Don't forget that. Then once you get used to it, sometimes you hold the object using, let's say, now you've been practicing for a year already. Now, one unpleasant feeling arises, then you apply mindfulness, observe it silently. Then before you contemplate impermanent, but your mind already knows it's impermanent. Because you have been training your mind for a year already, right? Sometimes no need to contemplate impermanent anymore. No need to note, to label it anymore. So when you see the time, because your mind already knows it's impermanent, very soon you see it passing away already. Then with the matured wisdom, arising and passing away become faster and faster. Then you reach the stage of the fourth stage, the insight of arising and passing away. Okay, so when you see the pleasant feeling arising and passing away, will it develop into craving or not? Yes or no? No, because it's already gone. When pleasant feeling has gone, then craving cannot develop. Right? When craving cannot develop, mean craving ceases. So with the cessation of craving, then what ceases? Attachment or we call clinging. So with the cessation of clinging, what ceases? You can read the book. What becoming. Because clinging is intense craving. So when that intense craving ceases, let's say, yesterday I give an example. You always think of the woman you love too. You always think of her. But now you contemplate, oh, craving ceases. Now your craving ceases. Then your intense craving also ceases. So will you write a letter to her anymore? Will you approach her anymore? Will you make a phone call to her anymore? No more. So no more karmic formation. No more activity. No more karmic formation. When there's no more karmic formation, there's no karmic energy that can produce new rebirth. Right? That's right. When with the cessation of clinging, then cessation of becoming. Becoming ceases. With the cessation of karmic becoming, then no new birth. When there's no birth, there's no aging, no sickness, no death. Thus ceases the whole mess of suffering. But this is called momentary cessation, not the complete cessation yet. Complete cessation only wait until arahant, become arahant. When arahant pass away, that is called complete cessation. So we have two types of cessation. One is called momentary cessation. So if you can aware of your pleasant feeling, momentary, moment to moment, when one pleasant feeling arises, apply mindfulness, not impermanent, pass away. That pleasant feeling pass away, then no more craving, no more clinging, no more action, then no more birth. And at this moment, you achieve momentary cessation, moment to moment. Complete cessation comes from moment to moment cessation. Don't forget that. Moment to moment cessation, if you can't even achieve moment-to-moment cessation, you want to wait until complete cessation, that's not possible. Therefore, the insight meditation is moment-to-moment practice until your craving become thinner and thinner. The layer of craving become thinner, 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 thinner. Then, when the craving become thinner, then wisdom also develop. The maturity become more mature, then craving thinner, thinner. So at one time, by the sword of wisdom, you cut off the defilement completely. Then you reach complete cessation. This is the way. Okay? So in order to cut, to break these 12 links, dependent origination, we should tackle on feeling. Therefore, it's a contemplation of feeling in the four foundation of mindfulness. But if, let's say, sometimes our mindfulness is blunt, not sharp. Because of pleasant feeling, craving has already arisen. Craving arises already. Then what to do? No hope. What to do at that time? There's always hope in the teaching of the Buddha one. You feel no hope because you do not know the method. I'm teaching you the method as a teacher. I cannot bring you to enlightenment, but I can teach you the method. Using that method, you reach enlightenment. So at that time, what to do? The mind is full of craving. If you don't stop that craving, craving will develop, become clinging. And once clinging is strong, craving is there, then you have to do, act already. You have to act verbally, physically, mentally. All this action will lead you to new rebirth. Don't forget that. So when craving arises in you, then you apply another foundation of mindfulness we call contemplation of the mind. First is contemplation on feeling. Second, if feeling so fast, we are not mindful at all. But we are mindful of craving because it's so intense. I want something, I want something. So it's so intense, so you are able to mindful of it now. So that I want something, already tell you, craving is there already. So at that moment, how to do? Contemplate that craving by way of citta nupassana satipatthana taught by the Buddha. So, as I said, in the four foundations of mindfulness, only two mental factors are important. First one is what? I hope you get it. I speak very tiredly today. So if you don't get it, I feel very disappointed. No. The method, the first, the two mental factors need to apply. Mindfulness, don't forget that. Okay? So then craving, when you know craving arises in you, how you know craving arises in you? You want something. You want something. You want to get something. You want something done. Your mind become hot also. And then you know craving is a reason in you. If you don't stop your craving, then you are going to perform unwholesome karma. You are going to make karma already. And when you make karma, there's new rebirth, new suffering. So we apply mindfulness, aware of it. Aware craving has arisen in my mind. Aware it, observe it silently, pause your mind. Hold the mind there. Don't react. Don't react means don't act because of a craving. Don't act. Don't stretch out your hand and get it. What I mean. When there's craving, don't stretch your hand and get it. Before you stretching your hand, before you stretch out your hand, contemplate it first. Aware of it first. Mindfulness. Then after you aware of the craving, not enough, as I say. You have to apply wisdom or investigation. Contemplate this craving is impermanent. Impermanent. Or contemplate it is conditioned, produced. Right? Before that, I don't have craving. How come now I have craving? They must come from a cause. So what is the cause? You investigate yourself. What is the cause for that? So you can either contemplate the impermanence of the cause itself. The cause is impermanent, then how can craving permanent? Or you can contemplate craving first, impermanent, impermanent. If the craving is still there, you try to find out the cause that caused arising of craving. Then tackle the cause first. Tackle the cause. When the cause disappear, craving also will disappear. When craving disappear, then clinging ceases. When clinging ceases, no more action. When no more action, no more birth. When there's no birth, there's no aging, sickness, and death. Thus, the whole mess of cease the whole mess of suffering. This is called momentary cessation. So in this dependent origination, the cycle of dependent origination, no more sound. Because today, last day, I want to make you clear about this talk. Okay, so in this dependent origination, there are two links you can cut. Not to say cut, you can contemplate. First is contemplation on feeling. If you fail, go to contemplation of the mind. Of the mind. If you still fail, then make karma. No? What to do? You have to act already. You have to make unwholesome karma. And remember, once unwholesome karma is performed, you have new more life to come. Reminder for you. Things just go on like that. So, in this sense, when we talk about Paticca Samuppada, the four noble truths, is there also. How? First, from very beginning, dependent on ignorance, karmic formation, dependent on karmic formation, consciousness, up to the end, dependent on becoming, birth, aging, sickness, and death, thus arise the whole mess of suffering. This is called the noble truth of suffering. Okay? Then next, what is the second noble truth? The origin of the truth of suffering. What is the origin? We know already. Craving is the origin. Right? Craving is the origin. Okay. Now, what is the path leading to the cessation of craving? What's the path? If you can answer me correctly, I feel very satisfied. And I want to stop teaching already. Because my student has understand this well, then I should stop already. If you don't understand, I have to continue my teaching. Correct. So, you know there's a craving, right? Just now I just mentioned to you. When this craving, what should you do? Contemplation of the mind. And this is one of the four foundations of mindfulness, right? So what is the path leading to the cessation of craving? You should answer four foundations of mindfulness. Noble Eightfold Path is under four foundations of mindfulness. So four foundations of mindfulness cover wider area, cover big area. For example, in the Noble Eightfold Path, so the path leading to the cessation of craving is, you can say Noble Eightfold Path also. You can say Four Foundations of Mindfulness. It's the same thing. Okay? Both also correct. But more directly, to the point, is that at that moment, how to cut off the craving from moment to moment, you apply contemplation of the mind. Apply first mindfulness, second wisdom. Okay, now you get it. Okay? And then the craving ceases. This is called momentary cessation. Then when craving ceases, then clinging ceases, becoming ceases, then no more birth, then no, when there's no birth, no aging, sickness, and death, thus the cease the whole mess of suffering. This is called cessation. Four Noble Truths. First is Noble Truth of Suffering. Second is origin. The origin of the truth of suffering. The third is the cessation. This is the cessation. The fourth is the path leading towards cessation. This four foundation of mindfulness or Noble Eightfold Path. Both are correct. So this dependent origination also reveal that four noble truth. Not understanding the four noble truth, Buddha said, why we have to go around the cycle of rebirth? Simply because we don't understand the four noble truth. By not penetrating the four noble truth, we keep on go round and round the cycle of rebirth. So if you understand the Paticchasamuppada, you also understand the Four Noble Truths. You also understand the way. You also understand the cessation. So by contemplating of mind or contemplating of feeling, these two ways can help to break down the link so that the cycle will not continue. Because when feeling ceases by way of contemplation, when feeling ceases, no more craving. When there's no craving, no clinging, no becoming, no birth. And when there's no birth, no aging, sickness, and death, thus ceases the whole mess of suffering. This is the way. Okay, so enough for today. I want to make a small clarification. Just now, because of slip of my tongue, I say that the four, the Noble Eightfold Path, Noble Eightfold Path is under four foundation of mindfulness. I think it's slip of my tongue. Four foundation of mindfulness is under Noble Eightfold Path, because in under Noble Eightfold Path, there is one called right mindfulness. What is right mindfulness? There is four foundations of mindfulness. Okay, thank you. I just want to clarify.